What is a typical day for a critical care nurse in terms of the ethical challenges they might face? And what about the treatment of pain? Damon Cottrell joins us on the Bioethics Channel to talk about it. He is a clinical nurse specialist from Lewiston, Maine, and a member of the board of directors for the American Association of Critical Care Nurses. The Bioethics Channel is a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. Practicalbioethics.org. Damon, you're in Kansas City to talk about a number of different things around the issue of pain, but let's first talk about critical care nursing and the ethical challenges that you face on a day-to-day basis. What's a typical day for a critical care nurse? What kind of situations, ethical situations, might they have to address on a daily basis?
I think there's a myriad of ethical situations that critical care nurses have to face on a daily basis that are more along the lines of your traditional concerns related to ethics, such as palliative care, end-of-life care, managing advanced directives. And I know that more specifically what you wanted to talk about was pain and the management of pain. And there are many situations that nurses face daily, maybe even hourly, about managing patient discomfort, when, how much, and to what extent that it should be managed. I think we would probably all agree ethically that we need to manage pain, but there are times in certain clinical scenarios where managing pain may have other untoward circumstances that make it very difficult for a nurse to make decisions on whether to or to not administer further analgesia.
And the reality is that you're dealing, because they are coming to you as a critical care nurse, pain would be something to expect. And that pain is not just the only thing that's going on. There are a number of other factors that are in play as well, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, there are a multitude of avenues that are types of patients that would end up in a critical care unit. It could be something as something along the line of someone experiencing myocardial infarction. It could be a patient who has a systemic infection or sepsis from a variety of sources. It could be a traumatic event that has led someone to a critical care scenario, a stroke, the list goes on and on.
So really, in terms of the priority, and we don't want to make this sound incorrect or wrong, but the pain may be down the list of priorities. It may almost be a secondary issue that you address later after you take care of the more critical, to use the word, more of the critical issues that you're dealing with this particular patient.
Right. I think you lead to a very important point, and that is that pain is always a priority. However, it may not be the highest level of priority depending on a clinical scenario. And so when a patient is unstable or potentially unstable, there are many things that a nurse has to consider, primarily being what physiologically is this treatment, medication, whatever the case may be. What is the physiologic consequence that may happen if I do treat pain? In other words, many of the medications can lower a blood pressure. And if you've got someone that's kind of marginal on the blood pressure, then there are often some very tough decisions to make. It's very challenging, and the world of critical care and acute care nursing is very challenging just from the breadth of knowledge that the nurses must understand in order to treat anything, and pain is included on that list. And so that's one reason why I'm very proud to be a critical care nurse, is because we have to know what to do, when, and how to do it, and to be able to manage all the what-ifs. So what if I give this? Yes, my patient's pain will be improved, but I may need to deal with something later. And sometimes we do it anyway. We treat their pain, which, you know, in that case may be the right thing to do, and then we manage whatever comes from that.
We were talking before we started this recording around the issue of where almost the default is, that the immediate inclination is to think of something, what kind of drug to give or mm-hmm. a shot or something like that. Is that, especially considering the Institute of Medicine report, something where that critical care nurses and others in the medical professionals may need to rethink?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very critically important point. I mean, one of the things that makes nurses unique is that there truly is both an art and a science to our practice. I think sometimes in a more acute type setting, there's a tendency to lean towards the science and, I want to give this morphine or this fentanyl to a patient to reduce their pain. But the beauty of being a nurse is that we can also do the non-pharmacologic measures and really kind of consider some alternative ways of reducing anxiety and pain and making our patients more comfortable. Along with that, we are gathering and learning more about alternative treatments and things to do in the clinical setting. And I think that the burden for critical care nurses that are practicing now and that will practice is to continue to learn and continue to do things better.
I mentioned the Institute of Medicine report on pain, and that's something that I would imagine resonated with the people within your organization.
Absolutely. I can't say that there were huge surprises in it based, from, being in the trenches, if you will. I think we know that we still have room to grow and to learn, and so I was very appreciative of the charge, if you will, put forth by the Institute of Medicine and their work towards making sure that we do the right thing for our patients and their families.
One of the things that, as a bioethics center, and Meyer Christopher with the Bioethics Center was on that IOM committee that came up with that report, was the moral standing, the moral importance of treating pain. And that's an important part for nurses to keep in mind as well.
Right. I think that is an absolute key point to be made. And I think that we have heard about the concept of moral distress in nursing, where there's where there are times where we know what the right thing is to do, but for some reason can't, or there's a barrier to us doing it in a timely fashion. And so sometimes nurses leave a clinical scenario, even to the extent of feeling physical symptoms themselves, because they know that ethically, morally, there were things to do that for some reason couldn't be achieved, which is a pretty profound statement about where we need to go from here.
Nurses are part of a team that addresses these particular situations. Is your organization trying to see how the team can work most effectively, especially within a pain scenario?
Our member organization is for years now been really on the cutting edge of making sure that that our nursing practice isn't in a vacuum, and that we really understand that the true meaning and essence and contribution of a team, and that there's a whole concept out there of team competence, knowing that when everyone is in concert and that everyone is working together for a combined appropriate goal for a patient and their family, that the outcomes are surely better.
With the IOM report, was there anything in particular with that report that nurses latched onto in a particular way? The barriers, maybe the education, maybe we just don't know still enough about pain in order to really treat it well.
I think both of those are probably very resonated probably very clearly. The work environment, the practice environment is so complex, and the challenges are so many. I think that there are nurses that literally go to work, have their assignment, and try to get the myriad of activities done during their shift. And the big question is when is there time for professional development? When is there time for professional growth? So the education component at least resonated for me, that was going to need to be over and above the workplace, which is in itself a professional responsibility, but life is challenging sometimes. We are learning more and more about work environments and how healthy work environments truly contribute to that concept of team competence. We also know that the education doesn't always play into nurses being able to communicate effectively with their with the members of the other disciplines. And actually, that doesn't just apply to nurses, but sometimes somewhere along the way, we're not always the best at communication. And creating an environment where people truly work together, where there's skilled communication, where there's collaboration, where there's authentic leadership, and the other tenets of a healthy work environment is really crucial to making sure this gets done.
Generally, and a final question, is the role of the critical care nurse changing evolving as the healthcare system is changing? You have advancing technology, and the baby boomer generation will make things interesting for all of us. How is the role changing for the critical care nurse?
I would say there's a twofold answer to that. I would say that it hasn't changed because the ultimate goal is to do the best in taking care of your patient and taking care of the patient's family. On that same note, or on the flip side of that, our practice environment is evolving on an exponential basis. Medical knowledge is evolving on an exponential basis. Work constraints and budgetary concerns are creating environments where there's more to do with less people. At the same time, technology is advancing. And so being at the bedside is a really tough place. It always has been. But I see it getting even tougher as time goes by.
Damon Cottrell is a clinical nurse specialist from Lewiston, Maine, and a member of the board of directors for the American Association of Critical Care Nurses. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.